The Workshop Downtown Podcast with
Ashley Ayala
and Kelly Bennett. This is a weekly podcast for people seeking to build a cool brand, business, lifestyle, and impact. Each week, we'll talk shop about the real behind the scenes of being a small business owner. We'll also talk to local change makers, interview people we adore, and just share about things that we dig.
So solopreneur is like solo.
So guys, today's episode is 10 things we wish we knew when we were getting started, and Ashley was sharing her thoughts before we recorded, and I asked her to repeat it, because that was so awesome. Like,
yeah, solopreneur means you're solo, man.
Means you're solo! Like, you are solo! That's so true.
Yeah.
So that's your number one thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Number one on the list right now.
Number one on the list, yeah. So today, we're episode 11, I think?
11.
Of the Workshop Downtown podcast, and we're talking about, yeah, all the things that we're going to do 10. We're going to keep it to 10 things.
Yes.
We wish we knew when we started our small businesses. Yes, my number one was being a solopreneur really means you're solo. So you are your accountant for, you know, until you hire somebody. If you ever want to hire somebody, you're your content creator, you're your photographer, your
creative director,
your events manager,
your hype man.
Yeah, your hype man, yeah. You gotta bring yourself
up. Encourager.
Your encourager, all the different things.
You are the think tank. You are all the things.
You're the decision maker, which is the scariest part, I think, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it is your call, what you want to do with it. If you want to change your brand, keep your brand, you know, all of the decisions fall on you. And yeah. I mean, not to say that our support systems aren't good, because I know, like, my friends and my family and my husband all provide great support. But at the end of the day, nobody's as passionate about your business as you are.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're solo,
you're solo. No, I feel you. That's so funny when you said it. Because it's true. I remember when I was starting out my blog, and I was in, it was a weird time. I had graduated college, and the economy tanked, and I went back to New York City, and no one would hire me, and I paid to work somewhere, and the lady was crazy, and I lost all my money, and that was a thing. Worked for a stock firm. That was weird. Came back to Vegas, lived with my parents, and I remember being in my old bedroom, starting my blog, and thinking, okay, this is going to be it. This is the thing that's going to break me free. And that was my first gig, really. And I remember I had to make all the decisions and all the things and promote myself and connect with people. And I would stay up, like, all night connecting with... This is when Twitter was, like, the main social hub. Just connecting with people on Twitter and all this stuff, and there was no one else. Mm-hmm. It was me in my room and YouTube videos. Those were weird videos. I took them down because it was like me in my room, like, hi, I'm Kelly and I'm a vegan. I have no vegan friends and my family thinks I'm weird. But I did make friends off of it eventually. But, I mean, you're solo.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, what else you got? What's your number two?
My number two is, if you are a socially minded entrepreneur, or you have some type of, I guess it's whatever, yeah, either if you have a social mission or you have a really specific brand identity in terms of, like, your core values and ethics, surround yourself with other business owners that have that in common with you. And
yes,
for me, it was, like, finding people online at first. And really, totally. It took me a while. For a while, I couldn't figure out, like, okay, why am I having issues with turning over inventory or getting people to my events and da-da-da-da. But I was looking at and conversating with other people in my direct vicinity where I first had my first studio, who they weren't socially minded. They were profit-minded, so their goal was like, hey, yes, I'm meeting a need, but my goal is to make a profit and make my business thrive, whereas my goal was education and, like, yes, I want my business to thrive, but the ethics behind it is really the main driving force. It's not money.
1,000%.
So I had to figure that out, and it took me a while, so... But now that
makes all the difference.
It does. Now that I have that support system, and I have colleagues and people that I can go to and say, like, hey, I'm having issues with this, what have you done, or what do you suggest, or I ask people all the time, can I interview you? Just to probe you about, like, you know, troubleshooting issues that I'm having because you've been in this longer, or you've been in it and you're also, you know, one of the pioneers in this kind of social movement. So definitely surrounding yourself with other people who...
I did that with the blog. Mm-hmm. I interviewed, like, over 60 people who were professionals and who are vegans and who was doing what they wanted to do full-time. Mm. And I just kept interviewing people, and I'm like, how do they make this happen?
Yeah.
You know, they were, like, these magical creatures. And I'm like, how did you figure it out? And it was good content.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great learning. And that's honestly a lot of the friends that I've made who are now, like, influencers in our mm-hmm. space who've come through the restaurant and who I'm still friendly with. I met through there.
Yeah.
It's all about, what is it, you become, like, the five people you hang out with most.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I get, yeah. And that's something, too, just, like, on a personal note. And, like, I want to say probably, like, my sophomore year of college, I just had this revelation of, like, okay, I have a couple negative friends who, like, just when I'm with them, I'm bummed out. And, like,
mm-hmm.
I can, you know, be a good friend and try and be there for that person and encourage them through this issue, but they're having the same issue over and over. And it almost seemed like an attention-seeking behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really into, and am really into, like, just psychology and how the brain works. And I'm like, you know what? I think for me and my well-being, I have to cut that relationship out as, like, a health self-care measure, right, mm-hmm. for myself, of, like, I can't be friends with this person anymore because they're sucking me dry. And so, you know, in the realm of business, yeah, when you're especially in the comparison thing, because I know I would love to say that I don't compare myself to others, but I do. But when you're comparing yourself to people who are in a different, they have a different end goal than you, or there's mm-hmm. something different driving their business, you just can't compare yourself with those people because you're not in it for the same thing. So, yeah.
Keep yourself surrounded. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Keep yourself surrounded by people who are aligned with you.
Yep.
I think that's... Mm-hmm. And that's why the workshop downtown, I think, has been so successful, because that's really who we're attracting. Mm-hmm. And then those people are now around. People are like, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you want to do. I get it.
Yep.
Remember when the first time someone was like, I get it. I get what you're trying to say. I know personally, I was like, oh my God, you do?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're around, at first you're telling your parents who are like, I don't know what this kid is telling
me. Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. My parents were like, I don't know what a vegan is. I don't know what you're trying to do. They thought, my mom brought me to the doctor. She thought I had a vitamin deficiency because I was making YouTube videos, and she kept hearing me talk to myself because I was the only one on the videos. She brought me to the doctor. And I remember telling the doctor, I was like, no, I don't have a vitamin deficiency. I'm an entrepreneur. I am trying to make it on the internet.
Have you heard of YouTube?
Yeah. Have you heard of veganconsultant.com? Like, I'm trying to put myself out there. And the doctor was laughing, and my mom's like, I don't understand. I feel like her vitamin Z is low. I'm like, Mom, what do you even know about vitamin Z? You don't even know. She just, like, picked a vitamin.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, like, I had blood work done. And the doctor was like, yep, she's an entrepreneur. There's nothing else wrong with her. So, like, I get it. I get it. So now when, like, I have Ashley around me and, like, the workshop people and, like, the restaurant and everything, and I'm like...
These people get me.
They get it. Now my parents are coming around.
Yeah.
They get a little bit. They tell people I throw vegan parties. Kind of true.
Yeah.
Kind of true.
On a big scale, though.
Yeah. I talk about on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Like, okay. Okay. Moving forward. They no longer think I have a vitamin deficiency. But it really makes all the difference.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah.
That one makes me happy.
That's a good one.
What do you got?
So my next one, I put five.
Okay, perfect.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Five and five.
Put yourself out there even if you think you will be rejected. So,
ooh.
Yes. That one, yes. I think, in my young, fresh entrepreneur mind, I was like, oh, if people aren't into something that I'm doing, then I'm a failure. I should just stop. And then I realized, I read a quote that resonated that was, like, something along the lines of, like, a successful entrepreneur is... just an entrepreneur who never gave up, because we will always fail.
Yes.
And we will fail, and then you have the choice of either, like, saying, okay, I'm done failing at this point, I can't mm-hmm. do this anymore, which, from almost being to that point, there is no shame in that, you know?
No.
But a, you know, quote-unquote successful entrepreneur is someone who says, like, yes, I know I failed at this, but let me try this a different way, or let me approach this from a different, you know, mm-hmm. a different
perspective,
or, yeah, just try it a different way. So, for me, that one is huge. And even still, I get sometimes, like, two in my head where I'm like, oh, no, should I try this? Because what if nobody shows up? I've done literally probably a dozen events where no one has shown up. And I'm still really? Just like, oh, yeah. And I will, and I could think about that and think about, like, you know, hyper-focus on it and let it give me that negative self-talk. Or I think I could use it as, hey, well, maybe there was another event going on that weekend. Maybe I didn't promote it enough. Maybe, you know, with the algorithm on Instagram, enough people didn't see that event coming up. So taking into account that there are lots of different factors.
And I would also say it's a great story now.
Yeah.
Because when people put themselves out there, and now that we're teaching creatives and change makers, small business owners, of like, hey, I remember when I created events and no one came.
Mm-hmm.
Or I remember when creating content and, like, no one read it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So I think that even makes you more personable and more of a force to listen to, because now seeing what you create,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's cool.
Yeah, definitely. So another one would be setting healthy boundaries and starting with healthy boundaries if mm-hmm. possible. So if you are a person like myself who likes to be unplugged or not tied to their phone all the time, you know, for a certain amount of time, whatever, have those boundaries set at the beginning, especially if you're, like, doing service-based work with clients, so that they know, like, okay, I know not to reach out to Kelly on Saturday or Sunday mm-hmm. because her phone is off, she puts it in a cabinet and doesn't yes. look at it. Or
Kelly's doing that again.
Yeah.
Kelly's very excited.
or, you know, I know that I can't reach out to this person and ask them for a haircut or a massage or whatever it may be and expect them to change around their whole schedule just for me. Just letting your clients know, especially that you're not available 24/7. You have your work and you also have your life outside of work. Mm-hmm. And as an entrepreneur, it's so, so important to have those two things separate. And so to set those boundaries early if possible.
What I've noticed too, clients who push it, you don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think we touched upon this on the last episode too. Those clients are the ones who want to pay you the least and demand the most.
Yeah.
So now feeling them out, and mm-hmm. when you start creating those boundaries, you get to filter them and you get to fire people
mm-hmm.
and then you attract more people that you want.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
My fifth one would be, excuse me, don't devalue yourself, but also be realistic about what your worth is at the time. So
that's good.
If you want to be paid X amount of money for this service you provide or this product that you're making, don't let people barter you down for that price
mm-hmm.
that they want. If it really is gonna hurt your pride, if it's that low, I mean, set your price and be firm in that, but also be realistic about what your worth is at the time. So example being, if you're just starting out as a photographer and you're doing weddings, is it reasonable to set your wedding price starting at $5,000? Well, if you're really, 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 really great and you would mm-hmm. compare yourself and maybe others have compared you to some of the great, you know, then that's reasonable. But typically, it's okay to go with the sliding scale of, hey, I'm just starting out. Here's what I think I'm worth. But be firm in that and don't devalue that. If you really think you're worth
the market
$2,500, yeah, a wedding, then don't go lower than that. But know that, you know, charging up too high, if it feels yucky, then it's probably unreasonable. But if you're, I don't know, I feel like there's some intuition that goes with that.
1,000%. And I know I've talked about it before, but The Law of Divine Compensation is a really good book if you want to go more on a spiritual level with how much you charge and receiving payment and all that good stuff. I always think of what is the most righteous exchange
mm-hmm.
for where you are in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever would feel great, you know? and people would feel great paying you, that's the price right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll grow, and the market will just tell you.
Mm-hmm.
The market tells you how much you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
And not your self-worth, I just want to be clear.
Yeah.
You know your own self-worth, but what is your prices or products worth or services? Mm-hmm. I think that's a great point. I think a lot of people come out of the gate thinking, like, I'm going to charge $1 million because I'm, you know, which is cool. But if you really want to be in business, like, price yourself at a yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like a righteous exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. Cool. So those are five.
Mm-hmm.
So I got number six on my list is be very clear in your communication of what the expectations are. Something that I've learned, especially with the restaurant, is being very clear. What is your role? What are you responsible for? And this could, if you are a solo entrepreneur, just knowing for yourself,
mm-hmm.
what is your responsibility? What are you bringing to the table? What is your genius that you are brought to the table for? And really clear on your communication of what you're not going to be doing. More times than not, I'm the one saying, hey, I am not doing X, Y, and Z. You need to find someone else. And at times that feels really uncomfortable. I've said it too with like snot dripping down my nose and tears coming out of my eyes and like super anxious about it. But I had to get it off my chest because you have to be clear on what the expectations are.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not, from an entrepreneur side, you could be really pushed into a corner where you feel really uncomfortable, you start resenting your clients or your projects or whatever you're in, and then you don't bring any value to the table. And then when you're building your team, if you're not clear on what you're expecting from them, either you're underwhelmed by them, and then you're over them, or they feel like you're taking advantage of them, or they don't feel cared for, or they're being paid well. So that's top of my list. The clear communication of expectations of what you bring to the table and what you're expecting other people to bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven is positivity. I know that sounds really corny, but something I keep learning again and again, like literally every day, is positivity can change your whole experience.
Mm-hmm.
Having a positive mindset, having a positive outlook, even when things are wild and crazy, because being an entrepreneur or having a small business is not for the faint of hearts, but having a positive mindset will change your experience.
And referencing back to our last podcast, talking about self-care. So if you are in a really negative mindset, take a step back if you can. What do you need to do to reset yourself so that you're in a good space? So that you can be the best you
Absolutely.
Can be to offer, you know.
And if you feel everything coming up to the surface or that thing in your throat and you just want to lose it at everyone, you probably have to take care of yourself more.
Mm-hmm.
Go to bed.
Yeah.
Take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, the positive mindset will make or break anything. Okay. Number eight. Yeah. It's going to be harder than you think.
Yeah.
Let's just be real. It's going to be harder than you think because you're like, oh, I have this idea. It's going to be fine. I'm going to start a website and then I'm going to come out with my product and then I'm going to be available all the time. I'm going to create all this content and it's awesome. And you're probably going to do it, but just think about that. I'm going to say at least times five.
Yeah.
I'm going to say at least times five, and probably
by
10.
By five, you could even mean years.
Yeah, yes. It will probably take you 5 years longer.
What's funny is, quick side story, when I was researching starting my own business, when I had this idea for Sister House, I was like reading about starting your own business, and they're like, yeah, you probably won't make money for, you know, 3 to 5 years. Most small business owners don't earn money until 5 years. And I remember reading that and thinking, like, yeah, well, my concept is going to be so good.
So good.
People buying beautiful products that I curate and they, like, give back. And, like, people are going to be so stoked about this idea because it's such a good idea. Like, I'll be able to sustain this in, like, a year or two. Hell no.
It's harder than you think.
It's so, so hard. So.
It really
don't
is.
Don't give up, friends.
Don't give up. And I think, again, And this is something I'm glad that we're even having the conversation around, because we do want to encourage people to start their own business and to bring their ideas to fruition. I never want to discourage anyone from that, but I also want it to have real expectations, going back mm-hmm. to the first thing I mentioned. It's going to be harder. So really get your toolkit out. Really have your mindset. I remember someone in a previous workshop at the end of the last year, maybe, they were like, you know, New York Times bestseller author and all this stuff in a year. And I'm like, whoa, I love all the things, but that's going to be over 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be very realistic with you. And then if you've managed to do it in 5, awesome.
Yeah.
But just being really clear that it's going to be harder.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes into my next thing of things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you may have a parent go ill, or you get robbed, and then a creepy person is your new neighbor, and then another crazy person is your neighbor, and then you're back in your old bedroom at your mom and dad's house, guys. Like, things happen, but you gotta keep going.
Yeah.
And just knowing that, like, things are gonna happen. Life happens. And as much as we want to curate and be the creative director and all that good stuff of all the things in your life, like, things happen.
And sometimes, too, the concept changes when things happen. For me,
yeah.
getting pregnant.
Things like, happen.
You know, things happen. And then you just, okay, well, this is the new thing that's happening. So how do I adjust? Because I'm still, you know, passionate about this idea. You still want to see it to fruition. But maybe now you don't have, you know, endless hours, and you'll be forced to set boundaries that you couldn't set before. That's my experience 100%, you know?
Same.
So, yeah, things happen. Concepts can change. It's okay.
It's okay. And especially being creative when things happen and knowing how to shift and change. I know for myself, when all of that stuff in my personal life was going crazy, and that's even maybe a whole other podcast of, like, shit hits the fan. How do you still run your business? But it was a godsend that I was my own boss, and that I could take some days off, and that I could schedule social media posts, and, like, I was able to get through that because I was running the show.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness, because things happen. And so being in that mindset before you go in, because if you want everything picture perfect, I just wrote about this on Instagram, because that's where I share my feelings. You know, don't do this. If you need everything perfect, if you need everything to be, like, just so, small business isn't for you. And just being very clear on that. And especially, don't ever open up a restaurant if you need everything really, really, really picture perfect. Because it's never going to be like that. Like, literally every day, it's another thing. I call my mom usually at night, and I'm like, listen to what happened. And my mom's like, honestly, it's like a TV show. Have fun with it. You know, like, things happen. And, you know, listening to my mom say that, because she has run multiple businesses, and she is older than myself. I won't say her age, because she'll probably kill me, but I mean, she's still young, but you know what I mean. But things happen, and I think that is a really good lesson that I learned from my mom, of, like, you gotta keep going, mm-hmm. and roll with it.
Yeah.
Make the most of it. So, and on that note, number 10 we're up to?
I think so.
Right? I'm looking at Brianna, because she keeps us on track, to remember to have fun.
Yeah.
Number 10, because I know for myself, I tend to, like, hold it in, because I'm like, well, I can't have fun until everything is at a 10, and, like, until my life and my business is all aligned, now I'm a millionaire, I could have the most fun in the world. And, like, I don't know where I got this story from, but in my mind, like, I need everything to be perfect, and I need to have everything lined up in order to just have fun. And so, like, honestly, drinking Moscato and doing this podcast has been really fun in my day, and I'm very grateful. And, you know, sitting outside of my little Airstream, and the other night, like, we had random people come over, and, like, was looking at our Airstream, and normally I would be like, oh my god, I'm in my pajamas, I didn't even brush my teeth today, like, there's people in my Airstream, but I was like, you know what, this is funny, this is fun, okay, that's fine, and yeah. I had a glass of wine before it, so that made it better, but you know what I'm saying, like, just remembering to have fun and not being so strict on yourself, and, yeah, having fun.
Mm-hmm. And two on that, probably just thinking back about why you started doing what you're doing.
Yeah. It wasn't to be stressed out and neurotic and, like,
yeah,
anxious all the time. It was to make an impact and feel good.
Yeah. And live a creative life, too. Not just in a creative profession, but live in a creative way that's innovative. And
absolutely. Yeah, I have to remind myself of that. I write that in my journal a lot. Like, live the way you truly want to live.
Me too. I've thought about that, guys. Side note of, like, okay, maybe, you know, every once in a while I'll get in a bad rut of negative thoughts, and I'm like, I'm just done. I'm going to go back to, like, a 9-to-5 job, and then I'm like, no, I can't.
Yeah.
As much as stuff sucks sometimes, owning your own business, and it sucks.
Yeah.
But it has such good... You have
freedom.
You have freedom, yeah, and it's not even about money. It's about just having the freedom, like Kelly said, to take a day or two when you need to schedule your content at midnight if that's the only time you have to do it, and then you don't have to worry about anything the next day, or just having that, and to the impact that you want to make, having control over the impact.
And you get to call the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so cool. You don't answer to a boss, like, you are the boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's really fun too.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it. So those are our 10 things that we wish we knew when we started. So I hope you took notes, re-listened to this, and, like, really let it sink in and meditate, if you will, on these. Because this is stuff that we truly wish we knew when we started years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah. Like, it's going to be okay.
It's a learning process, yeah. And I'm sure there are 1,000 more things.
There are a lot of more
that we could mention that we wish we knew. But don't be hard on yourself. Be flexible. Give yourself some grace.
Yes.
Just...
take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to episode 10.
Yeah.
We got you. We have some tips on there. So we hope this resonates and that, you feel good listening to it and you could apply some of these things, and also too, let us know if there's some things that you wish you knew.
Yeah,
we'll do another episode like this. I like it.
Yeah, me too.
So send us what you wish you knew when or wish you what you wish you want to know. Well, no. Edit that part.
Keep this in, please.
What
You wish you knew.
What you wish you knew. You know what I mean. Guys, if this does go out into the world, know that I'm alright. But message us. We got you.
Yes, and have go fun. Celebrate with a bottle of Moscato.
You know?
Yeah.
Number 10. Have
Number
fun.
Number 10. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.